So tonight, if you've got a study guide, we're going to get started here with engage, because once you're equipped, okay, once you're equipped to do something, the next thing is to just do it, right? Yeah. To do it. You can't just talk about it anymore. You have to actually start doing something. We're going to look here at Acts 2:42. So if you have a Bible, remember that's where we were last week. It's on your study guide. The church engaged in worship, and so should we. Okay? So let's look at that in our Bible. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul." Now, we use the word awe now as like a, you know, when you saw that little three-year-old up there, you guys were like, "Aw." Okay, that's not what it's talking about here. It's a different kind of awe. This is like, it would be used in, yeah, okay, awe-inspiring. That's right. Or you could say awestruck, like if you were just, whoa, completely blown away. Okay, mind-boggling. To be amazed. Okay, this awe. And so it says that they were doing these things that we talked about last week. They were going to worship. It says, skip down to verse 46 if you're reading there. Okay, it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people." So they were praising God. What had happened is that Peter had given this wonderful sermon. People had come to believe in Christ as their Lord. They had trusted him with their lives, and they were doing these things to remind them of who he was, how great God loves us, that he would send his son Jesus to die on a cross to take the punishment for our sin. I mean, that is just incredible that the God who created the entire universe would send his son down out of heaven, this wonderful place, down to live. Remember at Christmas, we talked about Jesus' birth? Man, for Jesus to be born in a stable, in a feeding trough, I mean, just the lowest of low. And he came and did that. He lived his life as a humble person, and then he died on the cross in obedience to God, and he took on that punishment that we deserved, and then he rose from the dead. And to these believers, they heard this and were like, "That is incredible. That's amazing. That guy, he's the Son of God. He came, he died." I mean, this would be like, you know, something newsworthy. If they had Facebook, it would have been trending, okay? If they had had news outlets, they would have had a news alert that came out, you know, that, hey, Jesus had been killed right on the Passover Eve. And they would have had this all over the place. And then probably 3 days later, they'd have another story. Jesus' body is missing. What happened? You know, something crazy. And so they would have heard about this. But Peter tells them, hey, let me connect the dots here for you, because you're missing the point that he is the Son of God. Of course he rose from the dead. Of course he did that. And God loves us that much. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us to suffer the consequence of our sin. Rather, he has sent his son to make a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he preaches this. People get saved, and they're living in a worshipful attitude. They're spending, it says day by day, they're spending time in the temple. They're praising God. They have good favor with all people. It says that they had awe. These guys were living. If you've ever had that moment where you've gone to a camp or you've had a real encounter with God, and you just feel amazing because you really understand for a moment, you kind of see this glimpse of who God is and how amazing he is and how much he loves you. And you see that, and your heart is turned to worship. It's turned to say, man, God, I got to give you everything because you're amazing. You're awesome. Just like what Pastor Chris was talking about. See, when we look at him and we realize these things, our hearts should respond, okay? And when we see a glimpse of who God is, okay, there's your next blank. It says, our response is a heart and life of worship. What does it mean to have a life of worship? Michelle. Okay, to dedicate your life to God and praising him, okay? So what are some practical ways that we can do that? You said praising, which is kind of like an outward expression, like when we sing songs and we're singing, that's a praise, right? How else can we live our life for God? Hannah?
I mean, I write songs about the Lord every day. So.
Okay, writing songs, yeah? Okay, being kind to others, right? Kindness is one of the it's a fruit of the Spirit, and so we know that that's something of God to be kind.
Following the commandments and the golden rule.
Following the commandments, the golden rule. Okay, God gives these commands for us to know how he desires for us to live, and so one of the things Jesus says is, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." And so we know if we act in obedience towards God, that he gets to see that we love him in that way. Just think about if there was a parent. Imagine one day, maybe you might be as lucky to be a parent of a child, okay? Now, you love this kid. He's your kid, all right? This kid, but, you know, maybe he's a little crazy and a little ADD and he just runs all over the place and stuff. But you want what's best for him. And so you have rules, okay? You have rules in order to help him to succeed, in order to help him, in order to help him be safe, right? So you establish rules. Things like don't touch the oven while mom or dad is cooking, right? Things like don't run out into the road, right? Don't talk to strangers. Now, those rules are there for your child's benefit, right? It's not a problem for me as an adult to talk to a stranger, okay? I'm able to take care of myself, but that little child is not, right? So there's a rule there in order to take care of them. Well, what if that child says, no, I don't want to do that? That's disobedience, right? It's disobedience. How would you feel as the parent in that situation?
Hurt?
Why hurt? Disappointed? Why?
Mad,
yeah, angry. They broke the rule, right?
And if they got in, like, where they hurt something wrong, then it'll be your fault.
See, the thing is, if that child went and broke that rule, what it would communicate in a way to the parent is, hey, I don't really care what you had to say about this, right? And that's kind of a harsh way to say it, but that's what it comes down to is, ultimately, I think I know better than you do, all right? So that disobedience comes in, and I can just imagine as God says that, you know, he is the father to the fatherless, that he is that parent role, he's got these rules, and that we're to obey him in order, you know, that makes him so proud, that makes him so happy. And to do that is a sign of love. So we can be equipped with the knowledge, like we talked about last week, the knowledge of this is what's right, this is what's wrong. We can have instruction to realize how to apply it to our lives, but then we actually have to do it. We actually have to live that life of obedience. In Romans 12:1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, listen to this, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Got a little tongue-tied there, but, you know, he's saying this is your act of worship. They had been in a culture where they would slaughter animals as a sign of worshiping God. They would burn incense. They would give these things. But Paul says there, offer your bodies. Offer who you are to God as a living sacrifice. Do you guys know how a sacrifice works?
Yeah.
in anything, okay? Whether it's, you know, an animal being killed on an altar, whether it's in baseball and you have a sacrifice fly or something like that. In any case, when you have a sacrifice, you're giving up something. That's right, exactly. In order to gain something else, you realize that there is value in giving up something here in this moment because there's a payoff in the long run, or there's something to be gained, or something, some good thing to be done by giving this up. Okay, if someone wants to lose weight, they say, "Hey, I'm going to give up my time on the couch, and I'm going to exercise. I'm going to sacrifice that time on the couch to exercise. I'm going to sacrifice eating, you know, a whole thing of Pringles because I like them for, you know, eating carrots or something, you know, more nutritious because Pringles are basically like not really, they're not healthy for you. I'm sorry. Sorry. I actually, you know, fun fact, last week I gave Nate like the whole rest of the thing of cheese puffs and Mr. Jim, I think, was like, "Dude, those are like 100% chemicals." And I was like, "Sorry, Nate, but I'm glad you're here this week." So Isaac ate all of them. And that's why he's not here, folks. So he should have. No, I'm just kidding. So a sacrifice works where you're giving up something because you understand there's a value to giving that up. Okay, so God said, or Paul writes here, to offer your body as a living sacrifice. It means to offer your body as a living thing that is being given up because you understand that there is value in doing that, that there's something to be gained in that. And that, he says, is our spiritual act of worship. Our second point that we can see in Acts is that the church engaged in service, and so should we. You guys, if you've never done Love Week before, I'm really excited about it. Okay, Pastor Jason and I had a meeting today with some volunteers about Love Week. We're starting to get some plans together for that. They're going to be pretty amazing, and it's going to be a great opportunity over the spring break week, Monday through Thursday of spring break. We're going to have Love Week, where we're going to have service opportunities. But we can see here in Acts, where it says that they were serving. Right off the bat, it says, many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And later on, it says that there was no need among them because they were taking care of each other. And check out Galatians, okay? Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh," okay? When it says the flesh, it's talking about for those desires that you have. You know, it would be equivalent to wanting those Pringles, wanting to sit on the couch, those things that, you know, we should give up in order to attain something greater. He says, don't use freedom in knowing that you've given your life to God. Now you can just go and sin and do whatever you want to. He says, no. That's not how this works. It's not so that you can go and live according to whatever you want. He says, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. You see, when our heart is worshipful, our response is service that shows love to others. That's part of the whole reason that we do things like Love Week, or the East Florence Mission, or when we go out, we've got a couple of trips or day activities that are going to happen later in the year where you're going to have an opportunity to serve people, to get to know people that you didn't in a stranger danger kind of way. But you'll be able to go and meet people and just kind of tell them who you are and share Christ with them. That's a great thing. These people, they were serving each other. They were taking care of each other. The Bible says that, you know, if we want to find out what true religion is, take care of widows and orphans. So service, when we serve people, it's a way for us to show them love. God has loved us. Remember, in that first point that they had awe and wonder. They saw how much God had loved us, and then they respond. They worship him, right? They worshiped him, but they also kept Jesus' second command. Remember, he said the first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. So they understood, yes, we need to worship God. He is totally worthy of it. He is amazing. He has done incredible things for us. He's just amazing even if he didn't do incredible things for us. But he has. So he definitely is worthy of worship. But then they said, also, we've got to go out and we've got to be hands and feet. We've got to take these things that we're learning and go and apply them. Okay, to engage means now that I've got what I need to do, I can go and do it, and I'm going to, and I'm doing it, and I'm moving forward. You guys would be really bummed out if I told you, you know, hey, we're getting that Gaga pit. And then I said, hey, guess what? We went and bought all the materials for the Gaga pit. And you'd be like, oh, that's awesome. And then what if I told you guys, hey, today we went and we marked out the spot where the Gaga pit is going to go? You'd be getting excited, right? Because we did. And it's great. I'm excited, okay? So we went out there. We marked it all out. We've got an auger that we're going to, like, dig holes in the ground. We're hoping we don't hit, like, a water line or something. So, like, we had them marked out, hoping those are accurate. But we did all this work. Now, what if we did all this stuff and we were like, okay, we are equipped. We've got power tools. We've got lumber. We have the screws and the lag bolts and things that we need. We've got all this stuff. Yes, this is great. And we've done all this work behind the scenes. And then we said, that's great. That was good, wasn't it? And you see, here's the thing. A lot of times we treat God's word like this. We'll go to the Bible study. We'll read it. We'll go, you know, maybe you go to a Christian school or you're homeschooled and you get to hear about it in your studies through that. Maybe not. But you go to church. You go to your journey group. You come in here to lift. You can hear about it all you want. But it's a totally different thing to then take it and apply it and actually build your life with the things you've been equipped with. And so Paul and Luke, who's writing Acts here, they're saying they didn't just hear these things. They actually applied it to their life. They actually went out and did something with it. And the ultimate thing is it says the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Because they were taking care of people. They were loving people the way God desires for people to love each other. They were doing what God had created them to do. Each and every one of us has a great purpose God has created us to do. But if we don't take what we've been equipped with, this knowledge and the instruction, and we apply it to our life, then it's like buying all that stuff for the Gaga pit and never actually building it. Yeah. No, we are building the Gaga pit. So don't worry, okay? We practice what we preach. It's important. We'll explain some about that in a little bit, okay? Let's move forward. All right, the final one. The church engaged in giving, and so should we, okay? In giving. Check out what it said there. Let me see. Verse 44 and 45, it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, did I say how many people got saved right before this?
No.
Do you guys remember from reading the Bible or anything? Was it 3,000? Yeah, 3,000 people got saved, okay, at least. And so 3,000 people, it says, and they were all together. Dang, right? Like, wow, that's amazing. All these people were together, and it said, and they were all together and had all things in common. It says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were loving each other and serving each other. And you know what happens when you serve people? You get to know them. You get to know this person's really good at this. This person's having a hard time with this. man, this person, I've been there before. I can help that person through that. That's a hard thing. I've done that before. Man, I'm going through a hard time. I'm so glad so-and-so is encouraging me through this. They were realizing these things, but they realized, you know what? There are real needs these people have. And God has given me things that I can sell this possession, and then we can take care of that need this other person has. Said they had all things in common. None of them were in need. They were taking care of each other. They were together. They had all things in common. That's amazing. And you guys may be like, well, I don't have a ton of possessions. I don't have a ton of things that I could take care of and, you know, give to people that are in need. If you ever see anything from around the world, you probably would realize how privileged we are, how much we have, and that there are millions, if not billions, of people who don't have carpet or a real floor in their home, that don't have paint on their walls. They don't have drywall for walls. Okay? There are people who don't have any kind of roof over their head. There are people who don't have any video games. Yeah, no clean water. They have maybe one set of clothes. Some of y'all are like, oh man, now it's getting serious. Only one set of clothes, all right? Yeah, no shoes, okay. So here's the thing. When we love others as Jesus commands, our response has to be generosity toward others. See, this is a whole process. If we're hearing the word, we realize who God is, we respond in worship. We worship God, and we also realize our response has to be that we go out and serve others. When we serve others, we realize there are needs, and we realize how amazingly privileged we are to be in the circumstances that we are. Jesus noticed a lady one time in the temple. She was a widow. A widow usually didn't have any source of income. And so this widow was at the temple, and she goes and she places a couple of coins that would be maybe like pennies in, and she gave that to the temple. Yep, okay. Very little she gave. But here's the thing. Jesus said, her gift was the most amazing out of all the things that were being given. You see, the rich people were coming in, and what they would do a lot of times, it would be like this. Imagine if I had the option, okay, I've got $20. I could either come in with a $20 bill or a check, right, and place it in the offering, or I could come in with like a ton of nickels and pour them in there. And everybody would be like, dang, Scott is really, like, given to the church. He must really love God. He's amazing. He's given all of this to the church, drawing attention to themselves. And this is what they would do. They would have boxes set up. The people would go and give in. And these people would want everyone to see how great they were, how godly they were. And so they would go and they would give. They wouldn't do the simple, humble way of placing the check in there, placing the $20 in there. No, some of them would be like, I'm not even doing nickels. I'm going all pennies and just like, you know, dumping it in there. They got wheelbarrows and people are like, man, that guy, he gives wheelbarrow loads of money to the church. It's still $20, but wheelbarrow loads, you know. These guys were trying to draw attention. Jesus says, no. It wasn't the size of the gift. It was the heart behind the gift. This widow, she didn't have a bunch of stuff. This was probably all she had. She didn't have a way of going out and making more money afterward. This is what she had. She was saying, God, this is all I've got, and I'm giving it all to you. That's trust. That's faith. That is love. That's a response. And here's the thing that all of us can apply is that whatever you have, you can use it to serve people who are in need. Every one of you guys in here I know can talk. I've heard you do it. Okay, some of you talk more than others. Okay. All right, but here's the thing. Every one of you has the ability to go up to someone and encourage them. Some of you guys are really good at welcoming people here, right? I saw a little bit of enthusiasm tonight, which was great, all right? Somebody walked in the door, they were like, yay! You know, like, kind of thing, all right? Super excited that some people were here. Here's the thing, like, we can do that, and there are people who come to Cornerstone, there are people who go to your school, or are on your team, or in your neighborhood, that need that kind of joy and enthusiasm and friendship, okay, just love brought into their life to say, hey, you matter. You're important. You're made in the image of God, the Bible says. You're awesome. Every single one of you has the ability to go and do that. That's something you can give. Every one of you has the ability to hold a door open for someone, to help someone pick something up that they dropped and carry it for them. Jesus gave all kinds of examples about how to serve others. If someone asks you to walk a mile with them, walk two. If someone asks for your outer garment, give them the inner one too. Like he was crazy about, like, don't just do the bare minimum of what's required of you. And a lot of times, it's easy for us to look at a situation and go, well, why should I do that? What's in it for me? Like, what am I going to get for doing that? Maybe nothing right now, but how much has God loved you? How much has God loved all of us? So much, right? And so for us to live as a living sacrifice means that we're looking for those opportunities. We're going out into the world and saying, hey, how can I do this? How can I go and serve somebody today? One of my favorite guys in the world, I've never met him in person, but I have his phone number in my phone. He's a guy named Bob Goff. Okay, anybody know who he is at all? Okay, you do? Bob Goff, G-O-F-F, okay? He lives in San Diego. He's a lawyer. He's probably the real world's most, incredible man or interesting man. He's got a house in Canada that's like 150 miles away from any grocery stores. So he has a seaplane and he's a pilot and he has to fly to go to the grocery store and come back. Okay. Like his daughter's now husband, he had told his daughter, if you ever find a guy you want to marry, me and him will build a wedding chapel for you to get married in. And if I don't like him, we'll just never get around to doing it, okay? But they did, and they built this amazing wedding chapel out in their land. Okay, he's incredible. But, you know, he wrote a book, and he said, the name of this book is Love Does, because love cannot just be something that is stagnant and doesn't mean anything. That can be infatuation, where, you know, you're like, oh, I love this guy or this girl, and she's the best, he's the best, whatever. And you just fawn over them and you adore them. See, that's not necessarily love, because love is drawn to action. DC Talk had a song way back in the day called Love is a Verb. Okay, love is to do something. Love actually acts out on what it knows to be true. So if we say we're going to love God, we have to actually live in a way that is praising him through our actions. But if we're going to love people, it means that we also have to act towards them in ways that are loving and that are encouraging and lifting them up. And guys, let me just have your attention for a second. We have a lot of room to grow on loving each other, like starting right here in this room and over at the loading dock. And if you don't know where to start, let me just say, start looking around and encouraging each other. Not this moment, okay? But look around. People go through hard times. You're either coming out of a hard time, you're in a hard time, or you're going to be going into a hard time soon. People need encouragement. Nobody's ever said, I'm too encouraged. I feel too good right now. I'm too encouraged that people are saying too many nice things to me that I feel too good about who I am. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever says that. We always have room to grow in that. I want to challenge you to do that. Look for people that you can love and serve. So I want to ask you, are you ready to engage in what you know is true worship? We've been equipped. We've been given God's word. We know that we're supposed to love God, that we're supposed to love people. We're supposed to be a servant. Now the question has to be, are we just buying all this lumber and the things we need to build the Gaga pit, or are we going to actually build the Gaga pit? I know every single one of you are like, we need to build the Gaga pit. Here's the thing, though. That's right. We can't just come in here to church and hear all the things and read our Bible and listen to that song on the radio. That's great to do those things, to be equipped. But at some point, like the little three-year-old said, just
do it.
Do it. And guys, if I can encourage you this week, think about what we hear each week in here and in the loading dock, and just do it, you guys. Go out and make a difference for one person. If every single one of you guys made the difference in one person's life this week and befriended them in a way that nobody has ever befriended them, you know what? They'd probably be a lot more likely to hear what you want to say about Jesus. And to find out, why are you so different? Why are you, man, in 1 week, we've become better friends than I've ever had before in my life. You have that ability. You have the ability to go out into the world and to care about somebody and show them how awesome God is. And the question, the only thing is, are you ready to do it or not? And if you're ready, I want you to do it this week. Just do it. Just do it. Let's pray. And then Miss Aileen's going to come up, share a few announcements. And I'll close this out, all right? God, we ask that you would be working in our hearts to remind us that our two main missions have got to be to love you with everything that we are and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. God, you give us opportunities all around us all the time. Help us to recognize that people are opportunities for us to love and to care about. And the people that need us the most may not be the most friendly to us, but God, give us that opportunity and help us to see it for what it is. God, you've equipped us with your word. You've given it to us. And so help us now to just go out and to do what it says, to be the church, to worship you, to serve others, to give sacrificially, God, in a way that would glorify you. God, we ultimately want to serve you and make you just glorified and honored. So help us to do that through our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Miss Aileen, if you would come and share.